You're tuned to WDIY Classics on WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis. I'm your host for this Friday edition of WDIY Classics, and it's another big music weekend in the Lehigh Valley. The Allentown Symphony Orchestra is celebrating the 17th annual Shot String Competition. It's a three-year cycle of instruments, and this year is the instrument is the cello. It's the National Solo String Competition. It began in 1997 following a bequest to the Allentown Symphony Association from Edwin H. and Lee W. Schott. And we welcome into the studio this morning the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. And we also have with us a couple of the finalists in the Schott String Competition. Dan Witry, welcome back to WDIY.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Well, it's the harbinger of spring. The daffodils are popping today. It's actually, if you're Welsh, it's St. David's Day. You've got leeks and daffodils going on. So the little harbingers of spring. But the other clue for me is that we have young musicians in the studio, and that means it's time, shot time again at the Allentown Symphony Hall.
That's exactly right, because it's always the first weekend in March. And musicians come from all over the United States to participate and to compete in this competition. And it's really put the Lehigh Valley on the map nationally and internationally.
So for our listeners, this was started in 1997, but the bequest and the Schott brothers go way back before 1997. Who were they, and why are they important to our community?
Well, Lee and Edwin Schott actually grew up right here in the Lehigh Valley, and their parents were adamant that they participate in classical music, and their parents actually commissioned two violins to be made for them, especially by a violin maker right here in the area. And we actually have those violins, and we loan them out to students in the area. But as they got older, they themselves didn't keep playing the violin, but they felt it was very important to encourage young people to play string instruments. And so they left this wonderful trust, and it really has been quite a legacy, so that we could offer things for string students throughout the Lehigh Valley, but also to be able to do a competition that would feature some of the finest young musicians in the country and to bring them right here to the Lehigh Valley. And there's a free recital, which is the finals, which is on Sunday at 2 o'clock. And that was actually part of what the Schott brothers wanted to have, is to have a free concert for the public featuring some very, very fine winners of this competition. And then the fact that they all come here, we host them in families, open up their homes, so that these young people do not have extra expenses to come here for this competition. Now, the competition has an $8,000 first prize, which is fantastic. And then we also feature the winner in our concert series the following season. So this is really great that we have this right here in the Lehigh Valley, and we're able to bring all of these incredibly talented young musicians here.
That's awesome. That's a wonderful thing, particularly for a beginning musician. This is really something. And you know, as I think back to the time we've spent, and it's hard to imagine, Diane, when we started this, I was a lot closer to the age of these young men than I am now. But it's been for me, it's been a decade, and I can remember some of those early winners have gone on to have quite notable careers in the classical music world, like Julia Bruskin and
Aaron Keefe. Won a couple of years mm-hmm. ago, is now Concertmaster of Minnesota and winning, you know, awards in New York. We have some phenomenal winners. Effie Botticchio won the cello a few years ago. He was associate principal in Philadelphia, and I think he's now principal in Seattle. So they're all going on, and we're hoping on the 20th anniversary, we're already planning the 20th anniversary, and we're hoping to invite some of them back for a sort of cameo appearance on a subscription concert where we can actually talk about what they're doing now and relive the memories.
Right. It's a wonderful thing for our listeners. My family and I have gone a number of years to that final competition, that 2 o'clock Sunday concert, which is this coming Sunday, which is the 3rd of March at 2 o'clock. And there's also an audience award as well.
Everybody gets to vote. It's very, very important that as you're listening, that you're thinking of yourself as a judge. And sometimes the audience judges different things than the judges. You know, we're also looking at the difficulty of the piece, the technique, the ability to, you know, communicate So there's a lot of things that go into this, but it's very, very nice that we do have a chance for the entire audience to vote, and there's a special prize for that that goes with that.
Right. If you have children, if you have children who are involved in music, this is a great opportunity for them to go and hear and listen and participate. I know my kids really got into it, and they had a favorite, you know, someone who they enjoyed listening to play. It reminds me when I was back in college, you know, back in the day, that was, you know, I was 18 or 19 years old, and Yo-Yo Ma was like 20 or 22 at that time, and he was touring around with Emmanuel Axe, and he came to our university, and they played at the local, you know, the little university concert hall. It was no big thing, but it was fun to hear him as a young cellist and then to see his career develop. And so if you come out on Sunday at 2 o'clock and you listen to these young cellists, not only the winner but the runners up also go on to have wonderful careers, and it's sort of fun to follow them a little bit.
That's
to see
exactly
where they go.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes I remember Clancy Newman, who was our third place winner very early on in the competition, but so incredibly talented. He was just 18 years old. And, you know, I said, you know, he's not quite ready now, but I'm going to watch him. And he's gone on to have a phenomenal career. And same with Judith Ingelson. She went on from our competition to win the Indianapolis International Competition for violin and is now in Europe and touring and performing. So, you know, all of these people are very, very talented, and it's really a great opportunity. And I think the Schott brothers would be very happy to, you know, look down from heaven and see what's happening and the types of people we're able to bring right here to the Lehigh Valley.
Absolutely. For our listeners, it's about just 10 minutes after 10 o'clock. You're tuned to WDIY Classics. We're visiting with Maestra Diane Wittry. She's the music director of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, and she is one of the judges for the Schott String Competition. In the studio with us are a couple of young cellists. We're going to meet them in a minute. And just one last thing before we meet our musicians is the process. There's a three-stage judging process. The first stage is a blind judging. How does that go?
So the blind judging is actually done right here at WDIY, and we're very gracious that you guys are allowing us to use the studios for this. And the judges come, and we sit in the conference room, and we have proctors that will play the examples, and we listen completely blind. We don't have a lot of time, so we're not able to listen to the entire CD that's submitted for each person, but we will tell them to go to very specific spots, some of the harder, more technical spots.
Is it a set piece of music, or do they play whatever they want?
They are allowed to choose whatever concerto they would like, but we always say that the one that won the year before is not allowed, and I think sometimes even the year before that is not allowed, so that we have the variety on the concert. They also play two movements of unaccompanied Bach, and then a sonata. And this will give us the variety of the styles of their playing. So usually the first round we focus mostly on the Bach and the concerto, and then as we circle back around from the first round, we'll knock some people out, we'll circle back around on the second round, and with that we're going to then listen to some of the sonata, we're going to go to some of the more difficult spots in the concerto, and hopefully then be able to knock some more people out. It's very difficult, and I will say of all the years, this year I think is the highest caliber overall, and I think was the hardest to judge in the prelims. We had a very, very good turnout, and many of them were just equally qualified.
Great. And the age is amazing. There's on this sheet I have, it's from 18 to 20, 23, 26, 27. And so it's the full gamut of ages. There's young players and a little more mature players. Is there an age range for the competition?
There is. It's 18 years old to 30 years old. Okay. And I think you can't have turned 30 by the December deadline of the application. So this kind of gives us a window, and it really works very, very well, because this is when the young people need that boost in their career. To win a competition, to be soloing with an orchestra, is very, very important towards launching that career and getting sort of that buzz going nationally about their work. Now, getting back to the judging, after we narrow down the candidates to about 9 or 10 candidates, those people are notified, and then they come for this weekend. So they're all in town now. They're rehearsing. We provide accompanists for them, and they will rehearse with their accompanist today. They each get 1 hour with their accompanist. And then tomorrow, each of them will have, I think it's 40 minutes in which to play for the judges. And once again, we don't have time to hear all the repertoire, so we'll be sometimes stopping and saying, can you go to the next movement? Can you go to the next piece? But we want to hear a little bit of each of the types of things that we've required. And in this level, we will also see them performing on stage, so we'll be able to judge stage presence, you know, sort of ability to communicate. And what's interesting is then the final round from Saturday will narrow down from nine, will narrow down to three. And then on Sunday, the three finalists will perform in front of a live audience. And that's why it's important for all you out there listening to come, because we need that live audience. And what's very interesting is over the years seeing who really turns on when the audience is there. And then some people don't turn on. Some people sort of close up and get a little bit scared maybe. So it's very, it's also an important part of the competition is, you know, who really goes for it and has that performing edge that really makes a great solo performer.
Yeah. For many years, it was blind for the first two.
Exactly.
Or three, wasn't it? It was behind a screen.
Yeah, we did behind a screen for the taped round and then for the first round at Symphony Hall, the one that's happening tomorrow. And we decided about 3 years ago to change that to be unscreened. And the reasoning is, by the time we get to that point, we really need to start factoring in the sort of performance level, the stage presence level. Because being a soloist, having that sort of special something on the stage is so critically important. And to wait until we were just down to the final three, we just decided was too late. And I've been very pleased with that decision because I think it really does make a difference. You can be a fabulous player and have great technique and sound great on a CD, but if you can't sell me in person, then you're just not going to have that solo career. And we're really looking to help launch, you know, the next great young soloist in the country.
Well, let's meet two of the potential next great soloists with us today. It used to be awkward because you weren't supposed to know them, you know, or see them. And now at least you can see them because you're going to see them tomorrow.
Exactly.
Anyway. So in the studio this morning are two fine young musicians. The first one is Ben Capps. And the second one with us is Song Yi. Song Yi, welcome to WDIY.
Hello.
Hello. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? How long have you been playing the cello?
Well, I actually came to the U.S. when I was one, and I moved to California for 12 years.
Where did you come from?
From South Korea.
Okay.
And I settled in Los Angeles, and I actually started with the violin, but I was so bad that my parents told me that when we came to the community orchestra, they told me to play triangle, and that's where I first started. And then along the way, I just finally saw a cello performance by Yo-Yo Ma, and I was just like, what is that instrument? I really like it. It's big, and it sounds really resonant, and I like the sound. So I decided to start cello and really work at it, and since then, I've played it for 16 years, and after 12 years in California, my family thought that it would be best for my education to move to the East Coast. So I moved to New Jersey, and I applied for the Juilliard Pre-College there, and I studied there for 6 years, but I was still conflicted about my path because my parents were sort of scared about how the music career works and how if I'm going to make a living or not. And things like that. So I actually went into academics. I went to Northwestern University and did a double major there. And I did biomedical engineering and music. But after 2 years there, I just realized that you're only going to live life once. And at the end of the day, who cares if you can do two things? Because you're actually going to only do one thing in life. And so I decided that I, you know, my mom says either you take cello as a hobby and you don't really play it and you just focus on academics, or you can try playing cello. And just the thought of actually just letting go of cello and going into pure academics was very sad for me. So I decided to transfer over to Juilliard. And so I studied there for my undergrad, graduated, and now I'm in my master's. And I'm graduating this year, and hopefully I'm auditioning for actually the doctoral of musical arts, actually a day after this competition. So I'm a little bit stressed, but it's going to be a week of auditions. But I hope that I can give the best performance that I can give in Allentown.
Yeah, well, maybe Sunday will be just like a warm up for what's going to happen on Monday. So,
well, one funny thing is that I had recorded a couple of pieces and I sent it to the competition. And the funny thing is, I'm actually auditioning with different repertoire the day after. So, but I think that I should be able to give the best I can give, and I don't think at the end of the performance people say, oh, I could have done this better and that better. But at the end of the day, I think it's whether or not you communicated what you had to say. And as long as you tried your best, the result actually doesn't matter. And I just would like to say good luck to all the contestants, actually. And just hope that, you know, the audience that does come on March 3rd get to hear a real performance of music. And, you know, just hear a real performance of music and hear what music's all about. And it's not about perfect playing, it's not about, you know, phrasing this way or that, but it's just all about like a personal take. What makes the Dvorak Cello Concerto beautiful, for example, is not because it's, I mean, it is a great piece, but it's not because of the piece itself, but what the individual that plays it feels about it. And I feel like everyone does have a very unique voice, and that is something that you'll probably not hear ever unless you actually go there, because every person has a unique voice and no one's gonna ever be like, you know, each other. So,
wow. If they were giving awards for smart, thoughtful, and well-adjusted musicians, you got my vote. What a thoughtful musician you are. That's great. That is a wonderful thing. I just have to ask you, where in LA did you live?
I lived in Chatsworth. It's a little near Simi Valley. And yeah. I actually went to the Colburn Pre-College there. Mm-hmm. So I would just, my parents would drive me up and down to LA. And I have to say, above all, I have to thank all the parents, because, you know, when we first start and they have to take us to the teachers, they have to pay for the lessons. And also for the fact that, you know, we actually think that we're going to the teacher and we're learning, but it's actually our parents that teach us in the early stages of music. So we really have to thank them. And it's actually for every artist that's come here, it's everyone's worked hard and it's been a very long process for everyone. So,
wow. That's terrific. All right. I'm going to ask you to get your cello. Mm-hmm. You're going to play for us a little bit. And while you're setting up over here, why don't we meet our other contestant, Ben Capps. Hi. Ben, welcome to WDIY.
Thank you.
Sure. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, where are you from? How did you pick up the cello? What's your background?
Well, I was born and raised in New York City in Manhattan. And when I was about 4 years old, my mother brought a cello home and thought it'd be a good idea to start me on it. And, you know, from day one, it was apparent that it was the right choice. And I have very, very early childhood memories of being about, I don't know, it must have been 5 years old, and just for the first time in my life realizing what, you know, having power was by playing the cello and making all these cool sounds that I had never heard before.
Do they do like a Suzuki cello?
Yes, that's right. I actually, pardon me, I did start with the Suzuki method at the School for Strings in downtown Manhattan. And I got into Juilliard when I was 9 for the pre-college, and I did my early childhood studies there until I was about 17 with a few different cello teachers. And then I continued at the Manhattan School of Music with the great cellist David Sawyer. From there I went back to Juilliard for my master's degree. And after that I took a couple of years and just went out, and I've been performing since then. And now I'm currently enrolled in the New England Conservatory's graduate diploma program with Lawrence Lesser.
Oh, that's wild. That's great. Who else? I was thinking of Deb Andrus, our clarinetist. She has connections to New England. And also our El Sistema fellow. Wasn't the El Sistema program based out of New England Conservatory for a while?
It's very possible. I know they're all over.
Yeah. So no triangle in your history.
It
was cello all the way.
Cello all the way.
And
cello power.
There's a little interesting story. This is not the first time you've met. What's interesting to me is that all of you send in these CDs. They have a blind competition, and they narrow it down to these 9 or 10. But you and Sang-Yi, your paths have crossed before. Where did you meet before?
Well, when I was 15, my parents and I moved to New Jersey, and we actually, believe it or not, we moved half a block away from where Sang and his family were living. So we not only went to Juilliard together and studied with the same teacher, David Sawyer, but also went to the same high school for 2 years.
How about that?
Yeah.
Hats off
small
to David.
Small world.
Yeah, small world. Hats off to David Sawyer.
Yeah.
How
great
about
cellist.
That? All right. Well, Sang Yi is set up here with his cello. Could you give us a little preview of what you might... that's not plugged in anymore, so you have to talk into the green one. There you go.
Yes, this is going to be... I guess all contestants were required to play a box suite, and since we don't have a pianist here and a piano, I guess that's the only option of giving a preview of what you're... what we're going to play tomorrow, so hopefully you enjoy it. I'm going to be playing the Bach third suite in C major, the prelude, and yeah, enjoy.
Thank you. The music of That's the music of Johann Sebastian Bach for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics. Sang Yi on cello, 24-year-old cellist from New York City, studied at the Juilliard School, studied with Joel Krosnick, Harvey Shapiro, David Sawyer. He's also worked extensively with David Geringas. It's was won a number of awards in cello competitions, including the Juilliard School Shostakovich Cello Concerto Competition, as well as other competitions around the world. You can hear Sang Yi perform this Sunday at 2 o'clock. It's Sunday, March 3rd at 2 p.m. as part of the Shot String Competition Finals. It's a free event. It's open to the public, and you are all invited to come out and hear that. Song, that was very, very beautiful. Thank you very much. Anything interesting or unique about your instrument? How long have you been playing on this cello?
Yeah. I actually don't own an instrument. This is actually, I've been using an instrument from the Juilliard collection the entire time, and It's a Contreras cello. It's a Spanish Strat, as they call it, from 1750, so it's quite an old instrument, and I'm thankful for the Juilliard School for letting me use it for so long. And
it's beautiful. It was wonderful. Our other cellist here sets up a little bit, Diane, tell us a little bit about the judges. Now, there's two different sets of judges. One is the CD, the blind initial judging, and then there's also judges who are here this weekend. Who's here this weekend?
Yes. So this weekend, and then I'll tell you about the ones that were here earlier. This weekend we have Alan Harris, who is currently a professor of cello at the Eastman School of Music. He's been on the faculties of the Aspen Music Festival and played with the Cleveland Quartet. Very, very experienced cellist, and he brings quite a background, which I think is going to be great. I'm going to meet him tonight when we have a dinner for the judges, actually, tonight. And then the other cellist, we often try to get a combination of sort of one that specializes more in performing and one that's a little bit more specializing in teaching, so we have a balance among the panel. And our sort of performing judge is Matt Heimovitz. And Matt
Heimovitz.
Yeah,
that's
do you know Matt?
Great.
He's played in the ballet. Yeah, yeah. I think he's played at Godfrey Daniels. And
Matt's plays really, all over.
He's
yeah.
made a reputation for bringing classical music into sort of unusual venues. And he's really to be commended for that. So we're looking forward to working with him.
Well, you guys scored a home run. I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. That's so you'll great. Have to come just to say hello
I
to him.
I will have to come and... Yeah, say hi to Matt.
Yeah. And then for the prelims, we had Mike Mermigan, and Mike is from the Baltimore area, and he's soloed with Baltimore and many, many orchestras. And then the other prelim judge was Tom Rosenberg, and Tom is actually the founder of the Fischhoff International Competition, which is a chamber music competition. He's been with that organization for a long time and as the artistic director, and was wonderful judging with him because he brought a sort of an insight as a person who's run a competition for so many years. We really enjoyed having a dialogue in between as we were listening to the different contestants. So we have some very, very fine judges. We always try to bring top quality people from around the country. Once again, bring them right here to the Lehigh Valley. And you'll have a chance to meet the judges. There is a reception after the shot competition where all the contestants will be there and the judges will be there. So it's a great opportunity for you to meet a lot of new people in music.
Wow, that's wonderful. I think the other thing, too, is for these young cellists is the networking thing to meet, like even these the judges who have names and reputations around the country, as they get to hear your names and get familiar with who you are, then when they're looking for someone or when your name crosses their screen, say, oh, I heard this guy in Allentown a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a good thing.
And we forget that, but all of these teachers and performers really do keep track of the young talent. And it's funny because somebody said, well, I didn't win that competition. Well, you might not have won that competition, but if you made an impression, you know, there are all sorts of things that go into a competition, and every day somebody, you might play differently, but often we make a mark of, you know, that's someone I'm going to keep an eye on. And I really do track all these young instrumentalists from our local Voorhees competition, even through the SHOT competition, through whenever I run into, you know, performers nationally. And we do keep an eye on you. So it is an important thing to participate in.
All right. Ben Capps is our next contestant here. And Ben, tell us a little bit about what you're going to be playing today.
Sure thing. I'll actually be continuing with the same exact Bach suite, but a later movement, the fifth movement, which is actually a pair of bourrées.
Okay.
This, again, is the suite in C major.
The music of Johann Sebastian Bach for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics, the suite in C major for unaccompanied cello, right? A couple of bourrées. That was Ben Capps on cello, 27-year-old cellist competing this weekend in the SHOT string competition at the Miller Symphony Hall as a part of the Allentown Symphony Association. He currently is a student at the New England Conservatory, studying with Lawrence Lesser. Also in his career, has studied with many other fine instructors, including David Sawyer, one of the same cellists as Song Yi. That was beautiful.
Yeah, really enjoyed that.
Why don't you move back on over here, and just a couple of questions for the two of you. I was watching you play and listening to you play, and I was just curious. I got about 20 questions for you, but I'll start with this one. You know, watching you both play, you have each of you bring your own personality, your own style, your own body shape and size to that instrument, and so you bring who you are to the instrument. But both of you at one time say with the same instructor, can you see David Sawyer in each other's playing? Are there certain way techniques that he teaches, or say, oh, I know why he does that because Sawyer always says to do that, or do you each have just a unique style? Are there characteristics that you learn or inherit from any of your cello instructors, or something visible or noticeable?
We absolutely do. Absorb a lot of the particular techniques from each different teacher, but you know, you have to understand that both Sang and I have studied with many different teachers, and as we progress and get more mature, all of the things that we learn from each individual teacher hopefully synthesize into a single style of playing that becomes our own. So of course, you know, one could say, oh yeah, maybe you put the finger down in a similar way and that comes from Sawyer, but that's not really... I think both Sang and I have very individualistic styles of playing, and that's really what the goal of studying with all these different teachers is, to bring it all together into a single package.
I actually saw some traits that I have not seen from other teachers, other than people who have studied with Sawyer. Yeah. Most definitely is, if you look at Ben's left hand, how he articulates it and releases after, mm-hmm. and that's a very important thing, because much like David Sawyer was very, very artistic, and he always emphasized, I guess, how we should sing through the cello. Mm-hmm. And this is very important when you see in the left hand articulation, as you can see the hit with the left hand as the diction of, let's say, a singer, and then the release after it, which has to be what the singer's voice is, pretty much the air. And it, when I saw Ben play the pair of berets, most definitely I saw that he was tapping pretty hard with his left hand and then releasing right after. And it had sort of a speaking quality to it that reminds me of David Sawyer.
Yeah, both that speaking quality and that singing quality that you're talking about probably come from David Sawyer's teacher, who was, mainly it was, I guess, Casals and also Alexanian. But Casals was known for being one of the first people to truly make the instrument sing and speak with some of that left-hand articulation combined with bow technique. And you can kind of trace these traits all the way back through generations and generations of players. David Sawyer, the cellist we're talking about, he passed away a few years ago now. And he was, he wasn't the last generation, but he was a few generations ago, one of the last of his generation. So the fact that Sang and I had the opportunity to study with such a great musician and someone who was a student of Casals is a really special opportunity in life, to be that close to so much greatness, artistic greatness and musical greatness and everything.
somebody should make a chart, the DNA of cellists, you know, to think of what the DNA goes into both of you from all of the different teachers you've had. That's pretty impressive. The other question I wanted to have is, watching you play, you both look very relaxed, and you're if you were to rate cellists in the world, I'm guessing you're in the top 2 or 3% of cellists in the world, maybe even not the top 1%. I mean, I think you're great. I mean, there are a lot of cellists out there, and again, thinking of your pedigree and where you came from and the fact that you're even in this competition, the bar every year gets higher at the shot competition. And so, so you're wonderful musicians. You're very relaxed, and you said, Sung, that you play because you just love to play. You know, it's part of who you are. Is that relaxing and enjoyable to play? Or when you get in situations like this, is it really tense and stressful? You know, how do you balance the joy of playing music and this tension and stress of wanting to do it exactly right, and obviously you're in this to win. So how do you deal with your stress, or how do you?
Well, see, of course, if we get in front of an audience and people are there, and we obviously, the most scary thing that we are doing is not actually the fact that we're playing bad, but we have actually put countless hours into practicing this, and then somehow like representing in the way, and the biggest failure for us is to be, you know, to feel that we did all this work, but then at that moment it didn't come out, and there's nothing else to show for it other than that moment. But my approach to it is, even if, you know, when you're on stage, whether it be, you know, at this competition or any other stage. It's just no matter what, people have to sit there and listen to it. If you're playing really bad, it doesn't matter. That is your that is your time to show what you have. And you know, it's not about playing for, you know, it's not about just convincing, but you're just sharing what you have. And yeah, the biggest thing is, you know, we of course have to plan practice, and we say that this place we're going to do this and that, but we forget to realize that music is actually like a living thing, and the audience that's listening to it has never listened to the music before, and we're trying to take them on a journey. And in order to go on this journey or give the sense that the audience has gone somewhere, if it's completely filled with a decision making in the head, for example, like I'm going to do this here, I'm going to do this here, you're always going to be constantly thinking ahead. You're not going to be listening to the music. You're not going to be listening to yourself. You're going to be listening to something a few bars ahead. And that, in a sense, sort of makes you lose the audience, because the audience is listening to what you're playing at the current
moment.
Yeah. And that being said, you have to actually live in the moment and not care so much about if you're going to make a mistake later on or not, but really just listen to yourself as the audience would listen to it. And you know, you might surprise yourself sometimes. You might do something you've never done before, but at that moment that you just felt that way, and you just have to go with it. And so that being said, if you have that kind of mentality and just the fact that you just want to express your music and communicate without, you know, not thinking about what other people think, and it's a little hard in a competition setting because we're trying to convince the judges to let us win, but but I hopefully everyone, you know, is here to make music and not to win, and that's
sure. How about you, Ben? Stressful or you're happy-go-lucky? Who cares?
Well, yeah, of course it's stressful. You know, I mean, how do I put this? Well, the reason why I play music and the reason why I'm a performer is because, like many people, music has changed my life. Not just for the you know, the emotional catharsis that it provides, but also, you know, the knowledge, the cultural and historical knowledge that goes into each composition, each composer, each time period throughout the entire world, the stuff that's still going on today, the stuff that's going to be happening tomorrow, which we're planning for, and it's changed my life. It's made my life just so much fun, and every day is a different adventure and a different experience. And I guess every time I get up on stage, that's exactly what I want to share with my audience, whether it be through my instrument or telling them a little bit about the piece just before I play it. Performing, and to a certain extent this competition, it really is a chance for the musician, the artist, to share what the art makes me feel, and what I want to make them feel with it, and show them a glimpse into the lives of the composers, or a glimpse into the state of the actual composition. So
that's great. That's awesome. Last question. We're going to wrap up here before 11 o'clock. But, you know, sometimes, you know, for us who are lovers of classical music, sometimes people blow it off as being boring or staid or old. But classical music is obviously very contemporary, and it does speak to us today. But I'll tell you, the cello has had a real boost with YouTube. So Smooth Criminal, or the dual, what is it, the Star Wars cello?
Two cellos, yeah.
The two cellos. And they just released a CD last summer, I think, of all these pieces, or last year. What do you guys think about that? Do you follow that?
That's cool. Yeah, it's great. It's great for the instrument, great for the music. There's also the Apocalyptica I found out about in high school, which is a cello quartet that plays Metallica covers. There's lots of commercial and popular type uses for the cello now.
So do you get a little more respect now or not?
Well, of course, I guess we'll take everything we can get.
Yeah, all right. Very good. Well, I'm so glad. That's Ben Capps and Song Yi, who are both finalists. Two of how many are here this weekend?
We have nine finalists.
Two of nine.
That will be playing on Saturday and on Sunday.
Yeah, and I guess maybe to be fair, since we've introduced two of them, the list I have include the 2013 semifinalists, Austin Huntington, Michael Katz, Soo Jung Kim, Christine Lampria, Ji Young Lee, Peter Myers, Wyndham Tsai, and the two with us here today, Song Yi and Ben Capps. Song and Ben, thank you so much for coming to WDIY today.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
You so much.
Yeah, I wish you all the best and great success this weekend and in your future careers. Diane Wittry, the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. She'll be busy all weekend at Miller Symphony Hall, judging these competitions with all and all the events that surround it. Oh, just a shout out to all the families who are hosting these young cellists. There's a lot of support from the community that makes this competition weekend happen.
Yes, we want to thank all those families. And if you're interested in becoming involved with the shot competition, please contact us. You can contact us from the website, either going through the Miller Symphony Hall part of the website or just Googling shot, S-C-H-D-T, shot competition, because it takes a lot of volunteers and helping people to make this happen every single year. We have a three-year cycle. We do violin, cello, and then classical guitar. And so we hope that you'll become involved and that you'll actually come to the competition every single year. It's always the first weekend in March.
All right. It's about 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. Coming up at 11 o'clock this morning, we will have our Friday film scores, the Academy Award winning soundtrack from the Canadian composer Michael Dana from the film Life of Pi. That's from 11 to 12 today on Friday film scores. And just a reminder, come out Sunday afternoon. It's a free event, the Shot String Competition Finals, March 3rd at 2 o'clock. Bring your children. The one thing, though, is for this concert is that once the concert starts at 2 o'clock, you cannot get in. Because it is a competition, they shut the doors and the performers have total quietness and concentration.
Yeah, we will probably let some people in between the different contestants.
Right.
But we will start exactly on time, and so it is very, very different than a regular sort of concert. So you do want to make sure that you get there, and then if you don't get there by 2 to, you know, then you'll have to wait outside until that first contestant finishes, and that will make it a little bit hard for you to do the audience judging because you wouldn't have heard all of them. So, you know, get there if you can on time, and also there's a wonderful reception that is free to the public upstairs afterwards where you can meet everybody. And for those of you that might be a little confused about the Miller Symphony Hall, the Allentown Symphony has changed the name of Allentown Symphony Hall to Miller Symphony Hall. They are one in the same place, and it's 23 North 6th Street in downtown Allentown.
All right. Coming up, we have music. Since we were in talking about the cello, who else to finish with but Yo-Yo Ma? We'll have Yo-Yo Ma coming up right after these important messages.
WDIY is pleased to partner with the Zollner Arts Center, presenting the Lehigh University Jazz Repertory Orchestra with Randy Brecker, Saturday.